Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer.
And I'm Rebecca Green. After every month, we like to catch up with the reporters in our newsroom here at WBOI. Sometimes we'll hear features they put together during WBOI Presents, or they'll join us for an update on their coverage from the past month. Zach Bernard joins us now. Hi, Zach, and welcome to WBOI Presents.
Great to be with you, Rebecca. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the work you've been doing over the last month, particularly this ongoing project, the Electric Works. It's exciting. They've opened it up for tours, and yet there seems to still be a little bit of mud in the water about where the project is.
Well, first of all, you and I went on one of those tours, and we had a great time, and you took some really nice pictures, too. So people can see those at WBOI.org if they'd like to. But yeah, there has been a lot of conversation about Electric Works, certainly over the last couple of years, but really over the last month, because it did overcome a couple of funding hurdles. The Legacy Committee did agree that they would work together with the city to fund portions of the project. And then a couple of days later, Mayor Tom Henry came out and announced six projects would be receiving new market revitalization funds, totaling about $55 million across those six projects. And Electric Works was the recipient of about $12 million of those tax credits. It's not the first time the city's utilized these credits. They did once before in 2008 and in 2014. But Electric Works was the second largest beneficiary of that funding, the first being Byron Health Center, who received $12.5 million.
There was also some discussion about the use of legacy funds, correct?
That is correct. Yes, a day or two before we saw the release of the new market revitalization funding, there was a legacy committee meeting where Electric Works sort of made their pitch as to why they should receive legacy dollars. There was no specific commitment of dollars from the legacy committee, but there did seem to be a consensus agreement that this was something the legacy committee wanted to fund. And as more numbers became apparent, they would be willing to commit a certain amount of money, you know, down the road, depending on what would be needed for the project. So Legacy appears to be on board for how much we'll see in the future.
You've also been doing some reporting again on Indiana's red flag law and some studies that have come out. What have you found?
There were a couple of individuals from Indiana University who performed a study focusing on the specifically 1981 to 2015 time period and how Indiana and Connecticut's firearm seizure laws sort of worked and brought down suicide numbers and other things. And one thing that was discovered is that Indiana's so-called red flag law, which, just to clarify for any listeners who aren't familiar, what it allows police to do is to seize an individual's firearm if that individual appears to be a threat to themselves or others, and the individual's constitutional rights are protected through an appeals process where they are likely to get their gun returned. This law was put on the books in 2005, and since then, the study appears to credit that with a 7.5% decrease in firearm suicides around the state. Now, the specifics of what that means could mean specific areas that have enforced the red flag law, which Allen County, as we have reported in the past, is one of those areas in the state that does enforce the red flag law. Doesn't use it often, but it does get used. And in those instances, it does appear that a 7.5% decrease in firearm suicides can be attributed to that.
Are you going to continue to look at those studies?
Yeah, we'll continue to take a look at those. There are different numbers from the CDC that we'll want to look into related to firearm suicides and things of that nature. So we're always trying to stay up on the gun conversation at WBOI, you know, as well as anyone that we're trying to do that. And it's certainly making sure that we get all of the studies and numbers out there. It's a very important part of the process.
And on a bit of a lighter note, the city has, I guess it's kind of a new toy. This giant piece of equipment that they're using. It's a boring machine.
Yes, a tunnel boring machine.
And they've asked the public's help to name it.
They have. And I have the four names right here. They want Buster or Bedrock Buster, Daisy or Daisy the Digger, Mama Joe, and Wayne the Worm. All of these names are supposed to tie into either Fort Wayne or the machine itself. You have a favorite, too.
I do. I kind of like Mama Joe.
Mama Joe, a tribute to Fort Wayne's three rivers, Ma from Mary, Ma from Maumee, and Joe from St. Joe, pronounced Mama Joe. I have to disagree with you. I'm going with Daisy the Digger. That got my vote. First of all, because it's just a very boss name. And second, during World War II, Fort Wayne's professional women's baseball team was named the Daisies. As a baseball fan, I got to go with the Daisies. So Daisy the Digger. But I think Mama Jo's going to pull it out. I think that there's a lot of love for that name.
Zach, thanks for coming by the studio to talk about your work. And we hope that everyone continues to tune in to WBOI for your continued coverage on Electric Works and these other issues.
Always a lot of fun. Thanks, Rebecca.